talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
In a few hours, you're going to be smarter than anyone you've ever met.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You can check me out on Facebook. Can you believe I'm on Facebook under Rodney on the Rock, R-O-Q. And my playlist is up there, and it's all kinds of things, pictures and things like that. It's really cool.
That is amazingly funny.
A girl was taking a shower, but from outside her window, she saw Bean's eyeballs. Creepy.
Now, Simpson, because of your many years as a nuclear technician, we're putting you on a nuclear sub.
Nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear.
Whatever.
Nuclear.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
How is this still a thing?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
More money, more props, that's what I always say.
Roll another one.
I have to admit, I have no idea what this
just
means.
Like the other one.
They're all doing great.
Except for
this
Kevin.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Still plenty of time to turn it around.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I don't know why.
Roll another one.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Just like the other one.
One could say that, but shouldn't we?
This one seems to be about sense.
Please drink responsibly.
I don't have another cent.
You're missing the whole point. This show is a joke. You are a joke.
Thank God it's Friday. Just pass it around.
Give it up for this guy.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
And now,
well, I don't get the rain, the income.
Our feature presentation.
What that guy said.
Right?
I'm with him. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It's the 14th of November.
Before I forget, I blew it on Ralph Garman's birthday earlier in the week, but I do want to get started today off on the right foot and say happy birthday to the great Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen. Celebrating his big birthday today, so. We'll see him in here in a few minutes with the showbiz people.
Now, was it Tuesday or Wednesday that you mistakenly thought it was his birthday?
It was Wednesday. I thought it was originally his birthday, the 12th. And then yesterday I thought I was making up ground correcting myself. And now I've got to make a correction on the correction because obviously I screwed it up yesterday. But today I'm positive is the day.
Okay.
So let's get that. I just want to make sure that that is noted for the record that we are wishing Ralph the happiest of birthdays today.
And, you know, so all of his many, many fans can – wish him a happy birthday as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no excuse for not getting him, getting him on the Facebook page or the Twitter or whatever. Send him an email, ralphkrock.com. Obviously, wish the man a happy birthday. Works hard. He deserves it. So, how's everybody? Everybody good?
Everybody good.
It's Friday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, living large.
Like you do. Like I've been doing a lot of reading on seizures lately. I got a problem with my little dog Linus. He has seizures, and we are always trying to be extremely aware of what causes them. In his case, it seems to be anxiety or heat. If he gets overheated, it's likely to lead him down a seizure path. So I've been reading. It's unbelievable. Seizures are a mystery to science about why they happen and what causes them and how many different ways there are to have seizures caused. It's remarkable. I mean, there are so many things we don't understand about the brain. We can land a spaceship on a comet, but we can't figure out things that are going on in our own heads sometimes.
And if they can't figure out why it's happening, does that mean they can't solve it? They can't figure out how.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, you know, there are 100 different kinds of seizures and lots of different treatments that people have tried over the years. And some people have success with taking medicine where they don't have seizures anymore if they do. Other people, it doesn't work. Some people have surgery to try to remove the part of the brain that's causing seizures. There's lots of different kinds of seizures. Like Linus has like a repetitive motion seizure where he'll put his head up into the air like he's looking at something.
Like you just don't care?
No, no.
Or, sorry, I know this is serious for you. Sorry.
Or like he's, you know, trying to swat a fly or something like that. And some dogs will, you know, lick repeatedly. That's their, that's how their seizure presents itself, is they'll lick their paws, for instance. Well, here's a story that I came across in my research of a woman in Britain. Her name is Zoe Fennessy. She started having seizures back in 2006. The only thing that is guaranteed to make her have a seizure, she has seizures randomly for no apparent reason. But the one way you can guarantee she has a seizure, and her seizures are violent, by the way, she begins vomiting uncontrollably and her body freezes up.
Oh, my God.
What causes her seizures?
When she hears
a song by Neo.
Oh.
What?
By the recording artist, Neo. Any song by Neo, his voice makes her go into seizures. And you can imagine what that has done for her life. She listens to only her own music in earbuds anytime she goes out. She comes across his music all the time just in the course of life because she goes into stores and things like that, you know, and they're playing it and it causes seizures. She said that the worst time she ever had was she was recently on holiday in Majorca. Where's that, Lisa? Is that
Mallorca,
Spain?
I think it is.
Mallorca?
Yeah.
Is that one of the Spanish, off the Spanish coast? This was just after the singer released his Play Hard with David Guetta. It was a nightmare, she said. The song was playing in every bar. I had to go up to DJs in places and say, look, can you please not play Neo? And they would look at me like I was an alien. Doctors say it could possibly be something in the tone of his voice, something like that. But it doesn't happen when I hear Usher or people like him who have a very similar sound. It's only him. It's only Neo.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, even don't you think the doctors get together and go, okay, it can't be that. So what is it?
Well, there's one theory because there's another woman in this article cited who had a similar situation. She's a woman in New Jersey named Stacey Gale, and she had epilepsy that flared up whenever she heard Sean Paul, who was her favorite singer. And the case of Zoe in Britain, Neo is her favorite singer. And doctors think that it has something to do with that. It has something to do with emotional triggering, perhaps.
Oh, I see. Because, so maybe it was at such an impressionable age.
Right.
And it brings back those emotions?
Doctors think it's possibly not about a particular set of frequencies. It might have something to do with the triggering in her brain because of it's an artist that she enjoys so much.
Huh.
People might think it's funny, she says, and I can laugh at it myself, but it has taken over my life and it has ruined my life. And the reason she is back in the news, by the way, is she just had surgery to have a portion of her brain removed.
Whoa.
To try to stop the seizures. Part of her left temporal lobe was removed. It has relieved some epilepsy symptoms, but she still has seizures every time she hears Neo. That has not changed, and it's likely not to.
Wow.
It sounds crazy to go in and have part of your brain removed,
yes,
but if you were having seizures where your body froze up and you started vomiting uncontrollably and no way you could do to stop it, if it happens even – you remember, this happens not just with Neo. This happens at other times as well. It seems like you do whatever you could to try to make that go away.
Yeah,
yeah, I would
for
think
sure.
So. But
so
how
crazy story. Crazy story. The brain is a mysterious place, you guys.
That is true.
That is true.
That's my takeaway from this.
That is. And you've always said that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hi, I'm sorry I didn't see you there. I was too busy blocking out the haters.
We are going to take a look at past acoustic Christmases today. And I'm looking forward to this because...
This is
going to
be part one in a continuing series, Kevin.
Because I got to tell you, we've been going back through some of the lists, some of the artists that have been on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And some of them we go, wow, I can't believe this radio station was ever in a position where that artist made sense. And some of them, I swear to God, are, I don't. Recognize
who?
The name.
We were there, but who is this?
They had a song that we played. We listened to the song. We don't remember the song. I don't know. It's bizarre.
But it's just like when you look at pictures of yourself from the 90s and you thought you looked good and styles have changed and you go, wow, that was a different time and place. It's the same thing with music. You don't know when you put them on the bill, you're excited to have them there. You don't know how it's going to look 10 years later, 20 years later.
Right.
I mean,
but in
2030, we're going to go, who the hell is Vance Joy?
Yeah, probably.
But it's great that he's there this year. We're very excited to see him. You just don't know how it's going to age.
But it's just odd that some of them we don't remember at all.
Yes,
that's
crazy. It is very odd. It's very odd.
So we'll talk about that today. We also have a comedian, Aries Spears, in the studio with us.
So funny. By the way, Kevin, you didn't see my email last night, did you?
I did not, no.
Last time Aries Spears was on the show, I was not here, by the way. Dave and Aries got into a basketball discussion that ended up in a bet. Okay.
In a bet.
Yes. They made a wager.
Was that the Knicks or?
It was a bet about the Clippers.
Right.
We'll go back and revisit the tape when Mr. Spears arrives here today. But my understanding, my read of what I heard on the interview is that Dave needs to have his shirt off during the interview today.
Oh, really?
How about that?
How about that?
That's awesome. That's good to know.
We'll revisit the tape and see if I got that right. But that's how it sounded to me, is that was the bet that they were making. Aries Spears was going to perform in his underwear. He was going to do stand-up on the air if he lost the bet. Dave was going to have his shirt off if he lost the bet.
And they agreed to this?
They agreed to this on the air, and we've got it on tape.
Oh, that's so good.
Is it? Does anyone want to see Dave with his shirt off?
So not good.
I want to see Dave embarrassed not to have his shirt on. I like that.
We also have the movie beat because it is Friday. And RJ Bell in Las Vegas. We're starting to worry about him.
Yeah.
This makes less sense than that woman that has seizures from a band. This guy is calling games. I don't know his overall record. What is it, Bean? 18-3 or 15-3 or something.
Yeah, I mean it's great. It's 75% or something like that. He's calling, which is remarkable for the NFL.
And each week he picks one that we argue with, and we go, yes. Look, you know more than we do. We get that, but
and each week we say, oh, if you're right on this one, though, we're never going to question you again. And then the next week comes around, and we go, come on, RJ.
And he's right. Too much.
That's why we have him on.
There's some insider trading going on. There's some fixing of games, or there's voodoo magic.
Okay.
So we'll have to ask him which of the above it is. But we're going to talk to him with his picks for the NFL Week 11. And we have your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the birthday boy himself, stepping into the booth. Time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, not my birthday.
Yeah!
Hey, what's going on? I'm gonna have some fun.
This is outstanding news for James Bond fans. The London Daily Mail reports two-time Oscar winner Christoph Waltz is set to play the villain in the upcoming 24th James Bond movie.
Yeah!
He's the best.
Awesome.
He's the best
casting ever.
And what a great idea for an actor to play a Bond villain. He's just perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And Daniel Craig, of course, will return as 007. Ralph Fiennes will be back as M. Ben Whishaw as Q. Sam Mendes, who directed the brilliant Skyfall, will be returning as the director of this film as well. Outstanding news all around for Bond fans alike. So that's great. Sir Mix-a-Lot, you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Baby Got Back.
He's sure.
The original Baby Got Back guy.
Yep.
He likes big butts.
And I hear he can't lie.
He just can't. You know, he's like Nick Alexander, can't say no.
Right.
He can't lie.
Baby Got Back.
You know, it's hard to find the original song, Baby Got Back. It's hard to find the original version.
It is.
So we need a seizure-inducing remix, apparently.
See why we have that one. Why don't you just go ahead and erase that, Beer Mug. Just feel free to delete that.
Which, by the way, Ralph advises you to do every single time you play that clip, Mugs.
So they went to Sir Mix-a-Lot and said, hey, what do you think of all this Kim Kardashian naked ass on the front cover of Paper Magazine story? And he said, eh. He said, Jennifer Lopez inspired Baby Got Back, and she is still the queen of the ass. So suck it, Kim Kardashian!
Has he ever named his inspiration before?
I don't follow the musings of Sir Mix-a-Lot often, so he may have.
Do some research, being in the next hour, and get back to us.
Get back to us. See what the European Space Agency says about
baby
that.
Baby got better late.
I thought we were erasing that.
No. There's like five.
You know what? Then hit delete five times.
he pulls up that song, and then
tremendous
you say it's wrong.
Ass.
So then he pulls up another song, and it's the same thing.
Turns out the photographer who shot that famous Kim Kardashian butt cover was replicating an original image that he also made called the Champagne Incident, featuring a nude black model with a very round rear end, and she's balancing the champagne glass on her naked butt, and the champagne is flowing over her head into the glass. Turns out he's a little racist, which makes me laugh.
Oh.
Yeah. He has a long history of distorting visual images in service of the objectification and eroticization of black women. Blacks are the premise of my work, he said in 1979. I have jungle fever.
Bean?
When asked about this, Kim Kardashian said, racist, I don't even drive fast. So apparently she doesn't quite understand what's going on. You know the good news about these Netflix outfits and the Amazon and the Hulu is not just that we get new original programming in new venues,
right,
but that struggling TV shows maybe have a good audience, but not large enough to warrant the network that they started out on to keep them, gets a second life. And such is the case once again with a show that I really enjoyed called Longmire. It was a modern Western about a sheriff in Wyoming, and it was on A&E, crime drama, really well written and well acted.
I remember how bummed out you were when you came in and announced that had been canceled.
It got canceled, and Netflix is apparently in negotiations to bring that show and new episodes over to the streaming giant as opposed to A&E.
How about that?
So that's pretty cool. I mean, it averaged around 3.7 million viewers per episode.
That seems like a lot.
That's
for cable.
A lot.
But A&E ended after its third season, so looks like it's heading over to Netflix. And there are also negotiations with BBC to do a second season of Gillian Anderson's BBC TV show, The Fall, which was real good as well. So that's good stuff.
What about Cop Rock?
Remember Cop that? Rock, I don't believe.
The musical about the police.
On Netflix. Let me check.
That was awesome.
With Netflix and see if they're going to bring that back. I'm sure most of the cast and crew is dead.
Dead, sure.
So that might be difficult.
I miss that show.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
There you go.
Hey, look at that.
Third try's a charm.
It'd be hard-pressed to find the remix, I would think, of that song.
Oh.
If you went looking for it.
There were
on
like
the
10
internet.
Of them.
I know.
Yeah. We have 10 of them, and that one is only one of them. The others are remixes.
Let's see who's really enjoying a birthday today. Patrick Warburton, my buddy from The Family Guy. He's a very talented and very funny man. He is 50 years old today. Happy birthday, Pat. Josh Duhamel, handsome, suave, debonair, husband of Fergie. He is 42 years old. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker is 39. Vanessa Bayer from Saturday Night Live is 33. And our very own Bean W. Baxter.
Nope, I'm not falling for this one.
Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday
today.
That's
all. It's absurd.
You're just saying that because I said it was your birthday.
Right.
I see. This is your way of getting back at me. I got you.
Bean Baxter's birthday today. Bean was asking for penis pictures, so if you can go to bean@krock.com and send him as many penis pictures as possible. It's the only thing he really asked for his birthday this year.
Lisa's thing,
you know what,
Rob?
I can do that.
You can do that?
You have plenty,
I have.
Right?
Quite a few
that's
that I
great,
could send
Lisa.
To Bean.
But you remember when Bean said, it wouldn't be fun if I got some penis pictures this year? Well, I think the least we could do for Bean
is that Kevin who said that. So let's keep this in mind
make
for
his
March.
Birthday wish come true. And Bean@krock.com, just send him just copious and copious amounts of large male members. Mm-hmm. He'd appreciate it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Penis. Bean was off the air during that song. Bean was complaining that he was not getting enough photos.
I know, I feel bad. It's his birthday and everything.
And it being his birthday and all.
The one request the guy had, if you listen to the show at all, you get any enjoyment out of it, the one request the guy had is, please send me some penis pictures for my birthday.
He's entertained you for years.
Right.
Is it too much to ask?
What I said was, I don't require any penis photos, but boy are they coming in, Ralph. Boy do people listen when you talk. Dave and Aaron and Eduardo and Mario and Axel and another Dave, and I'm not opening
thanks to you guys, but that does not these attachments. Nearly enough.
Hey, Bean also mentioned he's having some trouble opening the attachment, so if you could just tweet the pictures to him so they would come up in his Twitter feed, it's at Clyde Tombaugh, T-O-M-B-A-U-G-H, Clyde Tombaugh.
Not at all.
And just tweet them
necessary.
To him so they'll just pop up in his Twitter feed. He'll be able to see them clearly because apparently he's having some hard time opening up in them.
But
in,
don't
the
stop.
Email
but don't stop with the email. I think
no, no.
Both.
Look, double up. How long would it take just to double up just to make sure that your,
you don't want to
your
waste
birthday
them.
Gift gets delivered. That's
right,
all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, I am forwarding all of them to Lisa May, too, so I am enjoying
thank
that.
She's
so
seen them all.
Much. I know.
It is Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for listening. Another big weekend at the box office, perhaps. Let's find out. Ralph Garman is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
He's back! Kirk Cameron and his bad movie-making God Squad have cranked out yet another Christian film that will not be watchable by anyone but the most devout. This time, Kirk Cameron is Saving Christmas.
Yay!
Now, if Kirk Cameron had a sense of humor, it'd be about a retired cop who's now on a plane and Santa's on there with reindeer and it's going down and he somehow kicks ass and make a big spoof out of it. But
yeah. I think we're pretty aware he does not have a sense of humor.
No, Kirk finds out that his brother-in-law no longer believes in Christmas, and so Kirk sets out to return Christmas to Christ. Take it back from all the commercialization and how they've taken our nativity scenes and how the liberals have taken away our Merry Christmas and replaced it with season's greetings, whatever that means. To which I would answer, season's greetings would mean I'm giving you greetings at this time of the season.
Hopefully you're having a good season right now.
I think everyone knows what it means, Kirk Cameron. Here's some clips from the trailer of Saving Christmas.
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked?
He's just not into Christmas this year, that's all.
Some want to pull down every manger scene and tell us why our favorite Christmas traditions are wrong.
Newsflash, not in the Bible. That's a pagan idol symbol.
It was the winter solstice. Jesus was not born in December.
It's exactly what the Druids did.
Join me and my family, and together, let's put Christ back into Christmas.
Yeah! Let's not forget the reason for the season.
Sounds great!
Liberals, seculars...
Does sound great.
I'm going to save Christmas.
By the way, if it's not in the Bible, it's not worth a damn.
That's for sure. It's like when he proved to us that there's a God because of bananas.
Well,
remember?
Right. There was that.
That he proved that because of the way a banana is made, God exists. He didn't have any explanation for a pineapple, but still.
We could all believe what he's saying, that Christ has been taken out of Christmas, etc., and not want to see this movie because he makes terrible movies.
Look, even if you're a preacher, you shouldn't want to go see this movie because he's horrible. Foxcatcher. Now, here's a movie. I'm very excited for this film. Steve Carell stars as a legendary millionaire psycho John DuPont. This is a true story. He was obsessed with young men and wrestling, and he created a training facility on his vast estate that led to an unlikely relationship with a young man, ended in murder. It was just, it's a fascinating story, and I'm so thrilled that Steve Carell's getting a chance to do something other than what we've seen him do for so long. And look, that's very entertaining when he does, you know, when he sort of exploded on the scene with 40-Year-Old Virgin and The Office. I mean, he was very funny but the Steve Carell kind of thing that he does now, we're used to it and we're familiar with it. I think he's got a lot more to offer in this role. He's almost unrecognizable as DuPont in this film. An amazing cast. Channing Tatum's in the film. Mark Ruffalo, Vanessa Redgrave. Looks outstanding in limited release. Here is a scene, a very creepy scene, where Steve Carell, as John DuPont, is asking wrestler Mark Schultz, played by Channing Tatum, what do you hope to achieve in the sport of wrestling?
I'm a wrestling coach, and I have a deep love for the sport of wrestling. And I wanted to speak with you about your future, about what you hope to achieve. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
I want to be the best in the world. I want to go to Worlds and win gold. I want to go to the 88 Olympics in Seoul and win gold.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, creepy as hell. It's a little more dramatic without the big brass band playing behind it. But what are you going to do?
It's the movie beat music. I don't know what you want.
No, I'd like it to go away when we're playing a dramatic scene. There's an ability to turn it down, right? Yeah. I just want to make sure that that exists, that technology
My
exists.
My policy has been if there's music on the trailer, I turn it off, but if there's not, I keep it low.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. It's kind of sexy.
I'll take your note.
Rosewater, director John Stewart debuts his first film. That's right, the same John Stewart from The Daily Show. In a drama about a journalist who's detained in Iran for more than 100 days and brutally interrogated in prison. Gael Garcia Bernal stars in this film. By all accounts, this is a riveting, well-directed motion picture about a disturbing time in Iran and also for journalism. Here is a scene from Rosewater where the journalist is being interrogated.
I am a journalist. Just advised.
As a spy, I'm just trying to figure out why your country is so terrifying. The first thing to know about Iran is that it is not even...
So can you tell me why just... journalist meet up with this American spy on the Eva Lundquist.
He's not a spy.
He's not a spy?
No, it's a show.
He's a comedian pretending to be a spy. So can you tell me why an American pretending to be a spy had chosen to interview you?
And why would a real spy have a TV show?
Well, that's a good point.
The clip they're showing in the interrogation is a moment from The Daily Show, where one of the correspondents goes to Iran to interview a journalist and pretends to be a spy, and the Iranian government took that clip and accused the journalist of being a real spy because that was on television.
Unbelievable.
That's how John Stewart got inspired to tell this story, so it is kind of unbelievable. Beyond the Lights, story of a superstar singer who falls in love with a young cop she meets who teaches her very important lessons about life and love and whatever. Oh, this movie looks just vomit-inducing. Here's some clips from Beyond the Lights.
No, wait! Hey, look at me!
I see you.
That night on the balcony, you were screaming, I see you. So, just what do you see?
You busy?
It's all this.
8 weeks. No one cares what I have to say.
I'm listening.
When did you ever tell me that you didn't want this? When I was on that balcony.
I see you! All right.
Take it easy.
Good for you. The Homesman, Tommy Lee Jones, directs and writes this Western tale. It's getting great reviews. Story of a man whose job it is to transport three insane women across the prairie. That's not a good job at all. Hilary Swank also stars in this film, The Homesman, written and directed by Tommy Lee Jones. Here's a scene where Tommy Lee is telling Hilary Swank that the job he agreed to do for her maybe isn't exactly what he had in mind.
Three crazy women for 5 weeks is a lot more than I bargained for.
If you lied to me and intend on abandoning your responsibility, then you are a man of low character. More disgusting pig than honorable man.
Thank you for the kind words, sister. You're no prize yourself. Your plane is an old tin pail and you're bossy. But I'll sit out with you because I said I would. I'll help you tend your cuckoo clocks as long as it suits me. However, I will up and leave when, where, and if I please. Now, if you don't mind me asking you, where the hell is my goddamn bed?
Great cast in this film as well. And lastly, Dumb and Dumber 2. Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels return. Here's a scene from the film. I think it tells you pretty much everything you need to know about Dumb and Dumber 2. Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels explaining the rules of He Who Smelt It, Dealt It to Rob Riggle.
You guys want to play He Who Smelt It?
Huh? What's that?
It's complicated, so pay attention. Put the windows up. First one who smells a fart gets a point. If you say who dealt it, double points.
And you can't smell your own farts either.
What, are you guys kidding? No! No! I'm not going to sit around sniffing your guys' farts like some kind of truffle pig. Forget it.
Okay, fine. Lloyd and I will play one-on-one.
Yeah, head-to-head.
How can you play one-on-one? If you smell a fart and you didn't do it, isn't it obvious the other guy did?
I thought you said you never played before.
I would give up an eye before I would watch this movie. I would let Sons of Anarchy style, I would let them come in and take an eye before I would sit through this movie.
But would you watch Saving Christmas first or Dumb and Dumber 2?
Oh, those aren't our only options.
Yeah, yes, they are. In this world, they're your only options.
I would watch Saving Christmas three times in a row before I watch Dumb and Dumber 2.
Wow.
I really would.
Every minute of Dumb and Dumber 2 kills me in a bad way.
All right.
Would you take three crazy women across the prairie in the Old West in a covered wagon or watch Dumb and Dumber 2?
That's a tough assignment right there, man. None of these are good choices,
I'm
Ralph.
Saying.
Can I still go see Interstellar? Is that still an option?
Absolutely, you can. Still, yes. Okay, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie B.
RJ Bell is going to make some picks for the NFL week number 11 coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph will be back with the Showbiz Beat. And don't forget, tickets go on sale at noon today for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Noon. All the details at krock.com. This Foo Fighters show, HBO Friday Nights, is one of the best things that's been on television in a long time. For a music geek, there's no better show. I'm only sad, Kevin, that there's only 8 episodes.
Yeah.
After tonight, we're already halfway through. We've done Chicago, D.C., Nashville, and Austin. So tonight's episode 5.
Are you pretty sad that it's going to be over?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I am.
It has been great. But tonight, they do focus on Los Angeles. And perhaps a person that you may have heard of named Rodney Bingenheimer makes an appearance.
Oh.
They end up recording in the Joshua Tree at a studio out there in Rancho de Luna. But they do talk a lot about Los Angeles. And if you haven't seen the show, they talk about lots of bands that are from lots of places. And they show historic music-making sites within those places. And one of the places they go to is to Rodney Bingenheimer. K-Rock's own Rodney Bingenheimer's apartment. And Pat Smear interviews Rodney. Now, I've not seen in all the material I've seen about this episode, I haven't seen any trailers of Rodney's part. So I don't know how much he's on the show. But we thought, what a thrill. Let's find out and get Rodney on the show right now and ask him some questions about it. Hey, Rodney.
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
Right. It's not
Godhead.
We're calling you at home. It's actually
all
our
right.
show.
Right. Calling me at Stately Bingenheimer Manor.
Right.
As you
right.
refer to it.
That is Godhead.
So your friend Pat
right
Smear.
On HBO, 11 o'clock on HBO.
Right. That's right.
Foo Fighters,
said
Sonic
that.
Highways.
Sonic Highways. Yeah, we got that.
11 o'clock on HBO.
Said that.
Tonight's
okay.
episode's Los Angeles.
Right. Los Angeles. Covered all of that. So
music
let's talk.
Scene of Los Angeles.
Let's talk about
so
what
Pat
we have.
Smear comes to my apartment.
Said all that.
And he sits down and talks to me.
Okay, now.
Rodney Bingenheimer about
okay.
all the things of Los Angeles.
How long did he talk to you?
People from music and all the bands that came out of Los Angeles.
How much are you a part of
the
show?
The 60s to the 70s and the 80s. And I don't like the 90s. But
right. That's what I've heard.
The history of Los Angeles music is rich with bands and music.
What did you...
from Los Angeles.
Have you seen the finished product?
All right. Any questions?
What particular things did you talk to Pat about?
About Los Angeles and the music
uh-huh.
that came out of Los Angeles.
Right, but your part in it?
You talk about your friendship with the Monkees or how close you were to Sonny and Cher? Or...
I mostly talk about the music of Los Angeles and
right.
how the 11 o'clock on HBO.
HBO, Foo Fighters, Sonic
Highways.
Right.
Will be on. And then Pat Smear sits down
in my pad
right. talking to me about all the music from Los
okay.
Angeles that came out from all the years.
So we should just
Los
watch
Angeles.
Tonight. You're not going to tell us anything.
All the different bands that have been in
what's happening movie. Right now?
Well, my friend is playing the piano.
Are you... Is that... Is Brian Wilson at your house?
Yeah, Brian Wilson lives on my couch now.
What?
Yeah.
From the Beach Boys?
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. And he's going to be watching tonight at 5... No, HBO.
HBO at 11.
At 11, right.
5 o'clock, episode 11.
No, it's episode 5 at 11 o'clock.
Sonic Fighters, Foo Highways.
Right.
Nope.
Brian, Kevin Bean, the enemy's on the phone.
We're not the enemy. Hey, we're not the enemy. We're on your side.
Hey, Kevin Bean, how you guys doing?
I didn't know we were going to be talking to Brian Wilson, too.
I'm very excited tonight to watch the Foo Fighters right. episode of the HBO. They're talking to my friend Rodney Bingenheimer about all the music that came out of the Los Angeles scene.
Now, are you a focus of it, too, or is it just Rodney?
I went out and got this guy's coffee when they were talking, and Pat Smear came over, and he said, can I get some coffee? And I said, yeah, I don't. Get on to Starbucks and get you some coffee.
That's
so
sad.
I went down there and got this guy's coffee. Really nice guy. And so we just talked about stuff.
That's sad. Right, Brian? Brian?
You're just getting coffee now? You are a beach boy.
Hey, look. I'm still a beach boy, but now I'm also a coffee boy.
Okay. Okay. Well, look forward to that show tonight.
Don't forget show tonight. Run to Wingenheimer on HBO 11 o'clock.
And now, a moment with Bean.
That last 4 minutes of yesterday's game did pretty much save the season for the Seahawks.
Yep. That was a moment with Bean.
Go Seahawks.
I didn't realize they changed their name, but all right.
Yep.
Speaking of football, we'll talk to RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas right after the top of the hour. Try to win you some money this week. He's at 78% so far since he's been doing the picks on our
That's
show.
That's insane.
That's a deal with the devil. There's some kind of
something's going on.
Voodoo going on.
You know how rich you could be if you bet his games?
Yep. And our listeners have been doing it, too. They've been sending me the copies of their receipts. They've been going to Vegas and making money on it. So, all right, that's coming up. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
I'm putting everything I own on whatever he says this week.
Excellent.
Everything.
What could go wrong?
He can't be wrong. He can't be wrong. Great news for Bond fans. They have announced the villain for the 24th?
That's right.
James Bond movie that's upcoming. Christoph Waltz will play the Bond villain.
Yay!
Take my money now.
No kidding.
Boy, what a genius casting decision to make the most intimidating actor working today a Bond villain. The intensity factor between him and Daniel Craig is great. You won't be able to measure it.
Agreed.
With any device.
Christoph Waltz is the only actor who has ever won an Oscar in a Quentin Tarantino film, by the way. And he's done it twice.
There you go.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. Ray Fiennes will be back as M. Ben Whishaw will be as Q. And Sam Mendes, more importantly, the man who directed Skyfall, will be returning for this one as well. Set to premiere November 6th of next year. Circuit calendars, 2015, November 6th.
So a year from now.
A year from now.
It's not terrible. You've been giving us updates for like 5 years from now, so this isn't bad.
That's true. I'm very excited about that.
Let's have it.
While we're talking about British actors, this Benedict Cumberbatch. Well, the ladies love their Benedict. His fans are known as Cumberbitches. I'm not making that up.
That's awesome.
He's got a new movie coming out called The Imitation Game. It is a British-American historical thriller about a young mathematician, pioneering computer scientist named Alan Turing, who was a key figure in cracking the Nazi code, the Enigma code, back in World War II. So it's a story of him. It's like Beautiful Mind. It's one of those guys who was so smart, he couldn't relate to people, and he was sort of like a social outcast.
Beanish.
The Bean story, basically.
Yeah. I saw this trailer. It looks awesome.
Look, does look great. Yeah. An amazing cast. You got Keira Knightley also in this film. Looks terrific.
And he's playing the Who Smelt It, You Dealt It game, right? In the car.
No, that's a different game. So MTV was interviewing him regarding this film, The Imitation Game, and they thought, wouldn't it be funny to play an imitation game with Benedict Cumberbatch? Let's ask him to do some celebrity impressions.
Is he known for that at all?
He can do impressions.
Oh,
yeah.
He can?
No,
okay.
He's very entertaining on talk shows in the UK and stuff. He'll go out and do impressions.
Okay.
So MTV's Josh Horowitz, who was interviewing him, threw some names out to see if he could knock off about 11 impressions in about a minute. Here's some of that.
Sean Connery.
I'm very excited to see what young Benedict does.
Jack Nicholson.
Why can't we all see The Imitation Game?
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've got to go and see The Imitation Game.
Michael Caine.
I want to see The Imitation Game. Don't you?
Christopher Walken.
I want to see the... Oh, my God. I've got Jamaican or something.
Can you do Bane?
I want to see The Imitation Game.
Can you do Taylor Swift?
I want to see The Imitation Game.
Nailed it.
Christopher Walken from me. I was like, you see this film? I want to see this film. This film's been up my ass for the last 5 years.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's really good on the spot. Yeah. I had no idea he had that good a sense of humor.
He's a very funny man.
Yeah.
Oh. He was recently on the Graham Norton Show. I love that show. We're on BBC America. It's the best talk show on television. It comes out of the UK. And they talked to him about this narration he did for a BBC special about penguins.
About penguins?
Penguins.
Okay.
The only thing was he couldn't say the word penguin. Kept saying it wrong. And they left it in. And so now it's become like this running thing in the UK. How funny is that he can't say penguin?
What does he say?
Penguin.
So it's like G-W-A-N?
Yes, penguin. And they're like, why'd you say that? He goes, I don't know, but wasn't there anyone in the recording booth who at the time I was doing that could have said, Benedict, can we take another pass at that? You keep saying penguin.
Were they afraid to correct him?
No one knows.
That's
no one
crazy.
Knows how it slipped through the cracks. But he told the story on the show, and it's very funny to listen to him talk about. And they played some of the narration for him, and he was very embarrassed, but he had a great sense of humor.
That's so
about
funny.
It. He's like Kevin. He's like the Kevin of England.
Oh, please. He's much smarter.
And he mentioned Taylor Swift there at the end of his impressions. You know, I knew that Taylor Swift couldn't bottle up her evil for long. She put on this very nice veneer of, like, being, oh, America's sweetheart, but inside's the heart of a cold bitch.
Right.
And I knew eventually, you can only keep up that game for so long before the foundation starts to crack and stuff starts to seep through.
Right.
Brand new interview with her, it's starting to come out, and I can't wait. I can't wait for it all to be exposed.
Love it.
Talking about her new album, 1989, they asked her, who are your career role models in this interview?
And please tell me she said I don't have any.
Time Magazine. She did the interview with Time Magazine. Couldn't keep her facade going forever. Here's what she said. I can't find anyone, really, who's had the same career trajectory as mine. I struggle to find a woman in music who hasn't been completely picked apart by the media or scrutinized and criticized for aging or criticized for fighting aging. It seems to be much more difficult to be a woman in music and to grow older. So she picked as her two role models, Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SVU. Man, she loves that show.
She sure does.
And the Barefoot Contessa, the woman who writes the cookbooks.
What?
Yeah.
No one in music is her.
No, there's no one like her, Kevin. Her career is unmatched. Where it is, there was a doorbell ring shortly after she said that, and Beyonce punched her in the face. Which broke the door. There's no one. There's no other women in music who have had the kind of career trajectory that she's had. How about Debbie Gibson? Same thing.
Yeah.
She's the Debbie Gibson of the 21st century.
How about Adele, if you're looking
for
somebody who's...
How about any number of women who've been successful in music? No, just me, Mariska Hargitay, and the Barefoot Contessa. That's all I can find.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
No one likes her.
Beyond cute.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Really tall.
Oh,
you know,
she is.
Not going to go for me, that's for sure.
No, she won't.
She
won't after she watches tonight Sonic Highways on HBO at 11
We just talked to Rod. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Strange.
I was out getting coffee. Brenda, Brian Wilson, by the way, I was out there.
Brian Wilson? Is that right?
That's
weird.
It was strange. I was standing in line at Starbucks, and there's Brian Wilson.
That is weird.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Warburton, one of my favorite people. Not only from Family Guy, but also in Ted and Ted 2. He was the Tick. Very nice man. 50 years old today. Josh Duhamel is 42. Travis Barker of Blink is 39. Vanessa Bayer, very funny lady on SNL. She is 33 years old. And our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him, Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today. Bean Baxter. And as always, Bean would like you to send him penis pictures if you
that's
could.
That's not
Bean,
actually.
So at
that's
krock.com.
Thank
and
you.
Also, if you could post them on his Twitter feed, he would like that.
All filled up with penis photos for
Clyde
today. Thanks,
Tombaugh,
Ralph.
Tombaugh.
Bean, I know you're uncomfortable with this kind of attention, but just let us.
It's what you wanted, and we're happy to do it for you, buddy. No problem. We're happy to give you those
happy to
penis
help.
Pictures. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
We had Bono, young man who sings for that band U2, on the program with us on Monday. If you did not get a chance to hear the interview, it is up at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. And don't forget, you can see U2 if you buy tickets for night number 2 of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. They are going to be Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th at the Forum, on sale at noon today for K-Rock Street Team members.
Yeah, you need a password. And to get that, you have to become a Street Team member. So make sure you do that in plenty of time before noon.
It is free and it is fast, and they don't bug you a bunch if you become a member. Kevin, you got to quit accusing RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas of voodoo magic.
Tell me what he's doing.
I don't know how he's doing it.
How
I don't
do
think it's voodoo.
The Jets?
Who, how do you pick the
Who does
RJ,
that?
You picked the Jets over the Steelers last week, and I believe we openly mocked you as we are wont to do. And God damn it if you're not some sort of a wizard, sir.
Now, let me ask, were you guys rooting hard? I'm sure you didn't have any money on Pittsburgh.
No.
So here's the paradox, though. You know your audience. You know, on Twitter, we're getting feedback that a lot of people are starting to follow these plays. Uh-huh. Were you rooting for the Jets because you knew you'd have to eat crow, but your audience would win? Or did you want to gloat even if it was at the expense of your audience?
No, I'm weirdly – I'm not rooting against you. I'm weirdly fascinated by how you're doing this. I love it.
I got to be honest. The Jets game, I was especially attuned to. And after they, you know, quite frankly, dominated, I felt kind of like Bill Murray at the end of Ghostbusters. You know, when he's walking out and he's kind of smiling.
Well, you were 2-1 last week. And by the way, the only game that you missed was the Saints 49ers game that the 49ers ended up winning by a field goal in overtime. Had that last play of the game, that Hail Mary pass from Drew Brees with no time on the clock, had that not been called back, if it had been ruled a touchdown, as it appeared it was going to be for a second, you would have been 3-0 again last week, RJ.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. Still, though, since we've started, 21-6, 78%. And we should do this every week now because it's inevitable. We're going to have, at some point, a 1-2 week, even an 0-3 week. So keep in mind, the best bettors only win about 55% of the time. We've just been on a wonderful streak.
Right, because Satan is whispering in your ear. Something.
You know, me and Jimmy Page, you know, he made that deal with Zeppelin. And
sure. Here we are. All right. RJ Bell on the line from pregame.com, which you can find about 1,000 times more than we're going to have time to cover on the radio. But let's talk about a couple of your picks for week 11 in the NFL. And let's start with your upset special, RJ.
Yeah, underdog upset special. Tampa Bay Bucks +7.5. This is a simple handicap, guys. Tampa Bay is underrated. Most recreational bettors focus on the final score, but sometimes that score is deceiving. Last six games, Tampa has led in the fourth quarter in five of those games.
That's a shocking statistic to me for a 1-8 team.
Absolutely. And five of their losses this season by 6 points or less. And here's one of the reasons they're actually improving Tampa. They started the season with a new coach, with new defensive schemes. And as they've become more familiar with those schemes, the defense has been trending upwards. We're getting over a touchdown here versus a Washington team with locker room discontent around their quarterback, RG3. And this Washington team, last 17 games, they've only won three of them. And we're getting over a touchdown. Underdog upset special, Tampa Bay +7.5.
That's a great pick, as all of yours are.
This is one of my favorites of the season so far, to be honest.
All right. This is the game that makes me nervous this weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs have been very good this year. They have the loudest stadium in football, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, and my Seattle Seahawks are going in there. They need this one. What's going to happen here, RJ?
Okay, this is my best bet, Kansas City. And I'm going to dig into this game just a little bit here. Is first time this season Seattle's been an underdog. And historically, that's been a good role for them. Last 17 times, Seattle was an underdog. They've lost against the spread only twice of the 17. But this year's version is a big downgrade compared to recent Seattle teams. They're struggling on offense. They're struggling on defense. And historically, Seattle's unbelievable at home, but not nearly as good on the road. KC, on the other hand, as you mentioned, strong home field, especially with a high fan excitement game like this one. KC's been great. They've covered 8 straight games against the spread, beating the Vegas number by a combined 93 points. But there's just one concept that trumps every other one in this game. If Vegas offers a bet that the recreational bettors are fighting to get a piece of, you should be very careful because they don't build those billion-dollar casinos making it easy on you.
So what are they saying?
The average fan is saying, I can't believe Kansas City is favored over the defending Super Bowl champions. Vegas is okay with everyone backing Seattle, which means I want to do the opposite. Best bet of the week, Kansas City -2.5.
Yikes. Okay, and we look ahead toward Monday.
What, you don't like this one?
Yeah, well, that's Bean's team.
Let's look ahead toward Monday night. Tennessee, and again, Pittsburgh is back in the mix.
Yeah, this is our big game pick on Monday Night Football. Tennessee is our pick +6.5. Listen, let's state the obvious. Tennessee is a bad team. Last 14 games, 2-12 against the spread. It's been over 13 months since Tennessee covered a game at home. And now they've got a rookie starting quarterback. But remember, professional bettors bet teams. They don't bet teams. They bet numbers. And a 6-point underdog is huge in the NFL, especially against this Pittsburgh team. Handicappers like to profile team tendencies. And the Steelers just might be the worst good team in the league when playing a bad team. So here's an example. Last 11 times, Pittsburgh's been favored by 6 points or more on the road. One winner and 10 losers against the spread. Tennessee's focus and effort should not be a problem with the world watching on Monday Night Football. Our big game pick, Tennessee, plus six.
Does that include the Justin Bieber factor with the Steelers?
Is that involved? That's a factor I did not consider
last
week.
They should lose for the rest of the year for that.
Follow them around the country and just keep fading.
Yep.
All right. I know a lot of people listen to you every Friday on the Kevin Abed Show, and they go, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then we come back the following week, and we
who could possibly hear me and say that?
Yeah. Well,
I
think you're slaying the doubters week in, week out, RJ. So let's recap. So your upset special is Tampa Bay plus 7.5, right? Your best bet is Kansas City minus 2.5.
Yes.
And the big game is Tennessee plus 6 over Pittsburgh. That's for Monday night. Pregame.com is where you want to go to see so much more from RJ and the guys, and you can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And do tweet him if you've got your receipts from Las Vegas. Show him the money that you're winning from his appearances on Kevin.
And how Thanks, about RJ. An envelope with a little cash?
A little something for RJ. A little piece for him, right? Have a great week, sir. Thanks for the time.
They call it wetting your beak.
Exactly. Thank you, RJ.
Hey! You scared me.
Scared me, too. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:27. Comedian Aries Spears joins us in less than 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to play a piece of tape from Aries' last appearance on the show, which was almost 2 years ago this week, by the way, that you all are going to laugh at.
Yeah, I completely forgotten this.
Yeah, it's great. We'll look forward to catching up with Mr. Spears. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph gave us a story in the Showbiz Beat yesterday that was a real surprise to me and a real disappointment as well. Can we all just get along, first of all, message.
I'll tell you why it's not a disappointment to me. I don't buy it.
You just don't think it's true?
Either.
I don't. I mean, obviously, I'm just guessing, but right. I don't buy it.
When George Clooney got married recently in that very well-publicized ceremony in Italy, that all-day thing that involved boats and lots of different dinners and lots of different parties. And there were a lot of famous people there. One of the people who was notably missing is the man that we think of as George Clooney's best friend, Brad Pitt. These guys love each other.
And have for a long, long time.
For a long, long time, right? And I love the thought of those two hanging out because they both seem like awesome, hilarious guys. And I love the fact that they're best friends. Well, if these reports are to be believed, and Kevin doesn't believe them, a report by the Epic Times, and I don't know what that is, says that the reason Brad Pitt wasn't at Clooney's wedding and the reason you don't see them hanging out anymore is because their wives do not get along. That Angelina Jolie, Mrs. Brad Pitt, does not like Amal Al-Mouton, Mrs. George Clooney. Now, why don't you believe it, Kevin?
I don't know. It just seems like, okay, Brad Pitt didn't go to the wedding. Let's make a story why. I don't know. It's very possible it's true. I'm just saying, I don't know. It seems like George Clooney's very mature, and it seems like he wouldn't marry somebody that isn't also very mature. And Angelina Jolie has, it appears, nothing to be, you know,
jealous of
or worried about. It just doesn't add up.
And they made the same story up when George Clooney, who was the blonde he was dating?
Stacey Keibler?
Yeah. They made the same story then.
Oh, maybe
about
it is.
The two of them.
Maybe it's Angelina Jolie then.
Or they just like to say that whenever they're both dating someone or married.
You are right, Kevin, that all you need is a premise to invent a story with all the facts included. And George Clooney has sued newspapers for making stuff up about him, by the way. We haven't heard any kind of response from anybody involved in this story, but it kind of got us talking. Let's assume for a second that it is true.
All right.
Something like this does happen to a lot of people. I mean, there are lots of people who have had friendships in trouble because you don't like the person that they're married, or your spouses don't get along, or they forbid you from seeing that person because they think they're a bad influence or whatever. Any number of things can happen, right?
Yeah, it's
okay.
That's an unhealthy relationship at best, but yes, that happens all the time, I imagine.
But even in this case, if they didn't particularly like each other, I doubt that would keep them from attending the wedding.
The wedding, right.
That's
I would think so, too.
Ridiculous.
And I agree with Kevin.
The story goes on to say they're not hanging out anymore either.
Or they're just really busy.
It wasn't just the West. Right?
I mean, these are all smart, apparently confident, mature people. I can't believe this story is true. But assuming it is, we want to hear the stories in your life of where this happened for you. I mean, you know, when Ralph brought this up on the air yesterday, I said, you know, generally it's a, you know, it's a bros before hoes world. But that changes when you get married. Sometimes you got to make some you know, you got to do what your wife wants. And I bet there are a lot of stories that our listeners have of problems like this that have popped up just because of significant others not getting along or not wanting you to see your friend.
Maybe they don't like your friend. Maybe they don't like your friend's wife or girlfriend.
Right.
Any of the above.
So we want to hear, how did this happen for you in your real life, and how did you handle it? I mean, was it a deal breaker? Did it end the relationship with your significant other because of the way they treated your friends? Or what ended up happening? Or do you end up sneaking around just to hang out with your friends? No, I wasn't with Brad. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
And Pitt in disguises at a liquor store?
Exactly. So we want to hear your stories. I don't know that we've ever attacked this topic before, but give us a call and tell us what happened if you had stories like the Clutie Pitt story that's in the news right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. If Brad Pitt and George Clooney can't hang out anymore because their wives don't like each other, what hope do the rest of us have, right?
None.
Taking your calls on significant others destroying friendships at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Chris? He's in Montebello on line 5. He's got an unbelievable story.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
What happened to you?
All right. Well, I go to this Christmas party for years, like a friendship from all the buddies from high school. And there's two brothers that wives do not get along. I mean, because it's probably been, 20 years since they've been together. And it's because their wives, they're bitches, man. They just bitch and complain at each other. And one of them just said, you know, that's it. You're not going to come to this Christmas party tomorrow. And it's been 20 years going on. Two brothers haven't talked because of their wives.
Is this you or somebody else?
These are my friends. These are my best friends.
Your best friends. And they're brothers, and they haven't talked to each other in 20 years.
In 20 years because of their wives.
That is unbelievable. I mean, can't they? Doesn't it seem like...
They will not go. They will not get together. And their wives are... One's her name's Judy. Should have said on the air.
I don't know that we need to give names. But
I mean, it sounds to me like it's also an excuse not to talk, because if you really, really wanted to see your brother and talk to him, you could still do that without the wives getting together.
Absolutely.
They're just afraid to talk to each other. They just, you know, they're stubborn Mexicans. I'm a Mexican. I'm a stubborn Mexican, but they just don't talk to each other. I always tell them, hey, we even got to try to get them to go to a football game together and still wouldn't show up.
That's craziness, A. Yeah. And B, that's on them.
That's sad. Thank you for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. And what's going to end up happening, by the way, is one of those brothers is going to die.
Yep.
And it'll have never been resolved. No, but I'm serious. That's what happens with these family feuds, is that there comes a point where you can't go back. And that's why they need to handle it now. All right, let's go to Brendan. He's on line 4, Riverside. This sounds very similar to the Clooney Pitt situation, because this involves somebody not being allowed to go to a wedding.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, party people.
What happened?
Hey, so my best friend my whole life. We grew up, he got married. When I get married, I ask him to be in my line, and me and his wife and my wife, my, you know, fiance at the time, we kind of felt weird about his new wife. So I asked him to be in my line. He said, you know what, let me ask my wife and let me get back to you. And, I didn't ask him just to be in my line. I wanted to be my best man. And, so I wait for him to get back to me, and he tells me, oh, I can't. I got to work. But I know he works Monday through Friday. My wedding's on a Saturday. So
you think there was some reason why his wife didn't want him to be in your wedding, even though you guys are childhood best friends?
Yes.
Again, what's going on there, you think?
Again, that's on him. I'm sorry. That's on him. If you're his lifelong friend and you want him to be your best man, he doesn't say, let me ask and see if I can.
Yeah.
What would you say to your wife if you were that guy in the situation?
I would say, I'm going.
Deal with it.
And you don't have to, right. But this is my lifelong friend. And right. She would never say that.
Have you guys made up since then, or are you still kind of on the outs a little bit?
Well, then I hadn't talked to him after that. I was a little butthurt after that. I hadn't talked to him for a while, and then I hear through the grapevine that him and his lady split up. So I got in contact with them. We were talking for a while. We went to hang out, and then they got back together, and I haven't talked to them since.
It's like musical chairs with them.
It is. It's tough to follow. I need a flow chart. All right. Thank you for the call, Brenda. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Lizzie. She is one of, if I understand correctly what's on line one, she's the person who doesn't like somebody. So let's find out what it's like from that perspective.
Hey, Lizzie.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, a while back, me and my boyfriend went to a party, which was the guy and his girlfriend, which I don't like. And we went. Her cousins were there. I guess they seen me leave with my boyfriend. They got jealous. They said something. But I just walked out. And later on, when I got home, I posted something about it on Facebook. She seen it. We pretty much started talking crap about each other. And
I can't even follow this story. I am already so lost. Kevin, are you making any sense of this?
No, except for that she posted something on Facebook that her friends. No.
Well,
no.
We went, okay.
I can't.
You tell a great story, Lizzie.
I can't. Try again as succinctly as you can because we're not smart.
Okay, so we went to a party. Some girls were there. They got jealous because they seen me with my boyfriend.
Okay.
Later on, I got home. I posted something about it on Facebook, and the girlfriend seen it. So when she read it, we pretty much started talking crap about each other.
Kevin, they seen it. Come on. Right, thank you, Lizzie. We appreciate
the
call.
She's trying.
I don't want to hang out with Lizzie
well,
either.
Don't be a dick.
I think her friend's girlfriend is making the right call. Who's with me?
No one.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock. KROQ. Play that again?
Sure.
Good. Don't forget, it is Miss Double December time.
Yes, it is, by the way.
We're looking for Miss Double December contestants for 2015. You have to be 21 or over. You just go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. You complete your submission and send three photos. Please just don't send us headshots. That doesn't really help. And we're going to pick top 10 like we normally do, and we're going to do it live in Fullerton like we do.
Slide Bar December 5th is with Miss Double December 2015 will be crowned. You have until the close of the show on Friday, 1 week from today, to get your entries in. All the details at kevinandbean.com. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Before I get to Showbiz, how about some tickets to the premiere of Horrible Bosses 2?
Yay!
Wildly popular. Horrible Bosses 1 was a huge success. Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis all return, as does Jennifer Aniston. And here's the sequel to a comedy made within a few years of the release of the original, Dumb and Dumber 2. Just giving you a shout out. Just letting you know, sometimes it does matter.
While people still remember it, you mean?
Yeah. No. If you'd like to go to the premiere, it's happening November the 20th at the TCL Chinese Theater. Very cool place to see a Hollywood premiere there in the heart of Hollywood. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. You're going to get a pair of passes to Horrible Bosses 2, the premiere, if you're one of the lucky five first callers. Horrible Bosses 2 is in theaters everywhere November the 26th, so you can check it out then if you don't win. Speaking of new movies, I just tweeted this. If you want to check it out, it's at Ralph Garman on Twitter. Un-effing believable. The what? Newly released trailer for Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. It's unbelievable.
Kevin, am I wrong, but were you excited about that trailer last night on Twitter?
Of course he was.
No.
It's stunningly bad.
I mean, that's one way you could look at it.
I can't imagine anyone makes that film and says, yes. Now, there we go. That's everyone. Enjoy that, everybody.
Ralph, you don't understand. It's no longer a mall. Now he's in Vegas. He's security in Las Vegas.
He's sure on a Segway.
He's still on the Segway.
He sure runs into a window.
That makes me laugh every time.
You should die. I wish you a flaming death.
Really? Death? Just because he likes a movie?
He's the problem. Look, he's the reason we all have to suffer.
The guy runs into a pane of glass that you can't see is always funny. Haven't you ever done that?
I've done that five times. In 1953.
Yeah, but I didn't see it in 1953.
How could you avoid it? It's been everywhere all the time.
Makes me laugh every time. I'm going to watch it again when you're done with your showbiz.
You know, birds do that.
They do, and that cracks me up, too.
Well, that's just sad.
Anyone that runs into something that they don't see coming is funny. It's less funny with birds, but people is always great. Fat people, even better.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
You really need to be checked out. You need a CAT scan and a doctor and a team of physicians to find out what your problem
is. You think that's going to help?
It couldn't hurt. It's better than just letting it go undiagnosed, whatever your problem is.
Ruff,
at least you would have some answers.
There have to be millions of people that will go see this movie. I mean,
yep.
Kevin's not alone.
The
here.
First one was a success, right?
Yes.
Big time.
Round them up.
Doesn't make it good. I argue that a lot.
Round them all up. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good way to thin the herd.
Yep. Just find whatever theater's showing that. You just take out that theater. I'm telling you, world gets exponentially better.
Paul Blart 2.
So you're looking forward to it.
You know I'm looking forward to? Justin Bieber doing Hard Time in Argentina.
What?
That's right. You heard me. A judge has ordered Justin Bieber to return to Buenos Aires immediately to answer some questions about what happened the night of November something, 2013, outside a nightclub when a photographer claims Justin Bieber ordered his bodyguards to beat the photographer up. Bieber has 60 days to show up in front of a judge.
No.
And if convicted, could face a year behind bars in Argentina. He's like an international jewel thief. He's a criminal in so many countries now.
But why would he go back? I mean, you just don't go, right?
If you don't go, then they send the Argentinian gauchos out at you.
And
you do
that.
Not want that.
All right.
You know the gauchos. You know their weapon of choice.
I don't believe I do.
The Ebola.
Ebola?
Okay. Yes, Ebola.
What did you have to say?
The Bola.
What is...
You're not familiar with the Argentinian Bola?
No, I'm not.
Series of... It's not Ebola at all. It's the Bola.
The Bola.
Two weighted balls and the length of a leather thong?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
What am I supposed to do?
I told you already, flaming death. Why didn't you listen the first time? You need to go. You no longer are welcome here.
That's good, Muggs. Thanks for bringing up pictures of soccer balls.
Soccer balls.
That's the internet that does it.
You don't want a soccer ball coming at you. There's a bola right there.
Well, that looks dangerous.
Yeah, the gaucho gets you with the bola.
So I guess what Kevin's question is, and it's a legitimate one, will Justin Bieber just stay out of Argentina now, or is he going to fly down there to face the music?
He will just do that. Yes.
I do like the fact that the countries, one by one, are turning on him.
Starting to close their borders.
I do like that.
Starting to close their borders to Bieber. He is sort of a music's answer to Ebola.
He is.
No one wants them flying into his country anymore because of what he spreads.
He spread it to the Pittsburgh Steelers last week.
That's right.
Everywhere he goes.
And while we're talking about music, usually I'm not a fan of legendary music mogul Irving Azoff. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he's sort of the Antichrist, if you ask some people.
One of the most powerful, successful people ever in the history of the music business.
Yes. Didn't get that way by being a nice guy. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Okay.
And this whole YouTube music subscription service, this streaming thing, you were going to pay $10 and you could get unlimited, no commercial views of songs and videos and stuff like that. May not happen after all because Irving Azoff has announced he is pulling all of the songs from 42 of his clients off the YouTube service. That would mean, a few people like John Lennon, The Eagles, Pharrell, Smokey Robinson, dozens more. About 20,000 songs you'd no longer be able to find on YouTube.
Wow. But wait, don't you still have the option of watching the old YouTube and seeing the commercials?
I think he's pulling them from YouTube if this goes forward, period.
That's right.
Oh,
so you wouldn't even see the old ones. These songs would no longer be available to be viewed on YouTube.
So you're saying he's against it?
He says that unless they work out a better deal for the performance rights royalties for songwriters, he will pull these songs off of the service. He wants songwriters to get more money from these streaming services than they're currently getting, which is now a hundredth of a penny or something or whatever they see. He says, the trampling of writers' rights in this digital marketplace without any regard to their contribution to the creative process will no longer be tolerated. So it is happening. Irving Azoff is drawing a line in the sand and wants to see songwriters get their just desserts.
Well, with sales going down more and more and more every year, we're seeing the birth of this new streaming industry, and they've got to work out a lot of details before everybody's happy with it.
I agree, and I think the songwriters should be paid. So Irving Azoff has a point. Just hope he doesn't send the gauchos after me.
with the balls of death.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what.
I know Paul Blart doesn't have one.
I thought you said Ebola. It sounded to me like you said Ebola.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Patrick Warburton, he is 50 years old today. Josh Duhamel celebrates his 42nd birthday. Travis Barker from Blink-182 is 39. SNL's Vanessa Bayer is 33 years old today. If I'm not mistaken, she's the one who does Miley Cyrus, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah, she's great.
And our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him.
Is that true?
Nope. Bean Baxter. Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today. Ladies and gentlemen, Bean Baxter's birthday. Bean, how are you celebrating? I know it's always a big deal for you every year, your birthday. I was wondering how you're celebrating this year.
Thank you for asking, Ralph. It was a little bit of a crisis for me because yesterday was Thursday, my regular Denny's day.
Right,
but
sure.
I had to weigh that with because today being my birthday and getting the
birthday.
Free Grand Slam.
Right.
So I actually just sat and just trembled at not being able to go to Denny's yesterday on my regular day, but I am going to go today right after the show and get that free meal.
People, you think this is a joke.
Couldn't you have gone yesterday and today?
That's insane, Kevin.
You don't double up on Denny's day, Kevin.
Come on. What are you thinking?
I don't know.
You're not
it
even
just
making any
like
sense.
That would make sense.
Don't you know the crazy people rules?
if Denny's is a 10 to you, then why not go 2 days?
Not 2 days in a row, Kevin.
No, I don't get it, man.
Thank
don't you
for
understanding.
Understand?
My bad.
Then
so
he's
got
to today.
Then he's
got
to walk backwards, step over the cracks, and then use the blue pen while he's spinning the propeller on his beanie the opposite direction. Do you have any idea what kind of chaos that would cause? Then you have to swap the hubcaps from the front to the back, as well as color
very
outside the lines with the purple crayon. Don't you understand how the crazy people live?
I really don't.
Then, how do you plant the tapioca seeds? When does that happen? In the home. Put you in a box, you lunatic. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the Acoustic Christmas Concert, this is the 25th year that we have done this this event in December. It started back in 1990.
I don't think we claim often that people steal from us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like all radio DJs and all everybody says everybody steals from everybody. I think this is our idea. I think this was.
I do too.
All of the Christmas shows with radio stations across the country copied our idea.
Came from K-Rock?
Not Bean and I, but of course. But
K-Rock?
But K-Rock, yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know what the history of these holiday shows is, but you're probably right. There's probably no Wango Tango unless there's an Acoustic Christmas, that's for sure. And, of course, the Weenie Roast has been going for over 20 years as well. But we thought it might be fun in the days leading up to this year's Acoustic Christmas to kind of go back and revisit some of those past shows, because it really is hilarious when you start looking at the history of these Acoustic Christmas concerts. Back in 1990, for instance, at the Universal Amphitheater, as it was known at the time, a building that's now gone, it was a one-night-only affair. Chris Isaak was on the bill on that first year. Social Distortion. How crazy is Social Distortion played the first Acoustic Christmas song, still one of our most popular bands here on K-Rock. That's a band with some staying power.
Yeah, no kidding.
Dramarama, who maybe had the most popular K-Rock song of all time with Anything Anything, was on the first bill.
My favorite thing about that song is that people would write to us and say, what is the name of that song that goes Anything Anything?
All the time.
That happens so many times.
It makes less sense now since there's a thing called the internet, but we've been getting that email for many, many years. Yeah. Here's a band that maybe you don't remember. We had Omar lay down a couple of clips because some of this stuff is fascinating to me that these bands played. Do you remember from 1990, a band who apparently had a very popular song on K-Rock called the Trash Can Sinatras? Listen up.
When the matchmaker calls and hand with a catcher, they have rashed they'll still be.
I'm familiar at all to you, Kevin.
Not a bit. It's the first
Not
time,
a bit, right?
This is the first time I've ever heard this song.
I assume we played that song 1,000 times in 1990. The Trash Can Sinatras were on the bill for the first ever Acoustic Christmas.
I don't recognize that band name.
No.
I don't recognize that music.
1991, Alison Moyet was on the bill. A band called The School of Fish. Susie and the Banshees. The Smithereens. A band called The Wonder Stuff. This maybe wasn't the best year of ever for Acoustic Christmas. Ian McCulloch, the leader of Echo and the Bunnymen. And here's a clip from a band I have no memory of. The band was called This Picture. See if this sounds familiar.
Your arms hold me. Your body folds me.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the sound of the early 90s right here on K-Rock. All right. Apparently,
I've never heard of that band or that song either.
Apparently, something was going right for K-Rock because in 1992, that's the first year that the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas went to two nights at the Universal Amphitheater. And we had a pretty good lineup that year. Duran Duran played that year. David Byrne from Talking Heads was on the bill. Adam Ant played. The Rembrandts, Soul Asylum, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Kevin, was on the bill that year.
I used to like that band.
Suzanne Vega played the Acoustic Christmas show that year. But here's the clip that I had Omar pull because this is going to surprise you. This is definitely an artist you know and remember, but it's so weird to think about how popular this person must have been on K-Rock to play the Acoustic Christmas concert. I can't imagine it now, but it was Seal. Remember that song? A huge number one record. I think it came out of the Batman movie, the Michael Keaton Batman movie.
But Seal was on the show?
It's crazy to think of Seal as being a K-Rock artist, but he was at the time. We used to play Seal all the time, and now you only hear him on, like, beautiful music stations. Isn't that weird? All right, 1993, we move on. Kevin, I know you remember this Acoustic Christmas because that was the year that Billy Idol played for us.
Oh, that was awesome.
And he was amazing. Also, your favorite band of all time, Rage Against the Machine, played Acoustic Christmas that year. I think that was the year that we probably started calling it Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I was going to ask because I don't even remember in 90. I think most of the bands in 90 were I don't think we ever did a acoustic.
We tried calling it that, but you're right. Not a lot of people played along. But certainly Rage Against the Machine made it impossible to just call it Acoustic Christmas. Henry Rollins also played that year. They
what a
might
great
be
year.
Giants. The Violet Femmes, who you remember, played a couple of Weenie Roasts, too. They are always great. Bad Religion was on the bill that year. Blind Melon. Four Non-Blondes, if you remember them. The Cranberries. General Public. I mean, it was a pretty big lineup. It's crazy to me that the Smashing Pumpkins played in 1993, and they're back to play in 2014. How's that for someone? Longevity.
That is crazy.
Here's the clip from 1993's Acoustic Christmas. What a weird time it was on K-Rock when one of the featured entertainers that year was Tony Bennett.
I'm stepping out with my baby. Can't go wrong because I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe. That I'm all dressed up.
Tony Bennett at the time, by the way, was in his 60s, and he was very well received, if you remember. We had a good time with him.
How did we get to inviting him? Like, what was that process?
Because he did an Unplugged album for MTV that ended up being a huge hit and ended up winning, if I remember correctly, the album of the year at the Grammys.
But still not our type of music. Did he do one of our bands?
Nope. It was kind of like what happened with Johnny Cash, where he just became hip to a whole new audience. It was just brilliant marketing. And the crazy thing to me about that is Tony Bennett was an old man when he played our show in 1993. He's not only still alive, he had a number one album earlier this year.
He did?
He's like 86 now or something like that, and he's still making records. All right, we only have time for one more, so we'll just be covering the first 5 years in this edition of looking back at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. 1994 was the year. Bad Religion played again. The Black Crowes were on the bill. Hole played, and they were great. Jesus and Mary Chain played.
If I remember correctly, when Hole played, there was a long pause. A long hole in the show, so to speak, because we couldn't get a certain somebody out of that person's dressing room.
I remember
really?
That.
Really?
Yep. And we were like, what do we do? She won't come out of the dressing room. Hold, please. Hold, please.
That sounds like our Courtney. Seal was back that year in 1994,
what?
By the way. 1994 also is the first visit from Stone Temple Pilots to an acoustic Christmas show. They ended up playing others after that. That was our first appearance of Weezer on an acoustic Christmas show. They're playing again next month. Veruca Salt was on the bill. Liz Phair played that year. Sheryl Crow played that year, by the way, on a K-Rock show.
Sheryl Crow song?
Sheryl Crow, yes. Here's another band that you probably have forgotten that was one of the big stars of 1994. How strange does it hear, does it sound now to hear the Brian Setzer Orchestra?
Oh, you gotta jump jive, then you really gotta jump jive, then you really gotta jump jive, then you really gotta jump jive.
That was a thing that was played on K-Rock. Do you remember the swing music years?
I'm trying to block them out.
All the Brian Setzer and the Cherry Poppin' Daddies and the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. We played all of that stuff on K-Rock.
Here's what I remember about Brian Setzer and his orchestra. He brought them all to the Kevin and Bean show, and they performed. And we were in a much smaller studio, and we didn't have a space for them to perform. So the orchestra lined up outside in the hallway. And salespeople and management people were like ducking underneath them and walking down and trying to get through the hallway that they were performing in.
Went all the way down the hall, out into the kitchen, back by the DJ lockers. There were like 17 of them in the Brian Setzer Orchestra at the time. But they were on the bill back in 1994. So there you go. That's the first 5 years of the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas shows. Isn't it crazy to think about some of those bands that we played and some of those bands that played those shows?
I feel like the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is going to be better.
Well, let's see prediction. How you feel about it in 20 years. So we'll take a quick break. Aries Spears, very funny man, joins us next right after this song. Our next guest has been doing comedy since he was 14 years old and is just now starting to get good at it. You can see him on stage at the Brea Improv. A lot of shows this week, including two shows tonight, also Saturday night and Sunday night. Go to improv.com. Tickets are just $22 for the great Aries Spears, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo!
Mr. Spears.
How are you, sir?
Welcome back.
Thank you,
this
brother.
This is bold and brave of you getting up to do morning radio when you had to work last night at the Brea. How was the crowd there at the Improv?
They were good, man. That crowd is always good, man. It's a real versatile crowd, a lot of diversity, great people, great energy. But, you know, I got two baby mothers, man. I got to be up at the crack of dawn, baby. These broads are killing me, man. I got one in my pocket like the government and the other one like the mafia.
So what have you been up to? You haven't been on the show in 2 years. What have you been up to lately? What's been new with you?
You know, just trying to stay relevant, man. Keep the lights on, work, touring, putting some stuff together, sketch comedy-wise, financed and produced my own pilot that I'm actually trying to sell right now. So, yeah, man, just trying to stay above the fray and show Hollywood that Kevin Hart ain't the only funny dude out there.
Tell me about the process of doing your own pilot and trying to sell it. Is anyone interested at first,
before we go to networks, try to pitch it to networks. We want to try to get some producers, some pretty good producers involved. So I'm in talks right now with Will Ferrell's company, Funny or Die. So we're trying to slowly but surely put all the right pieces in place before we go and make that big move.
Here's a question. You were, of course, famous for Mad TV. What did you do? Eight seasons?
Maybe, yeah, I wanna 8 years.
8 seasons on Mad TV.
Yeah.
Why do you think there aren't more shows like that on television?
Because sketch comedy is hard. It's hard. It's one of the hardest things.
But there are people
do.
Doing it in every major city in America every night. People are doing sketch comedy. There's a million people who love it and want to do it.
But are they doing it well?
Well, loving it and wanting to do it is one thing. Actually being able to pull it off is something else. You know, it's you know, doing it live in front of an audience where you don't have the pressures of television and writing and scripts and, you know, censorship, and there's a lot that goes into it. So, you know, that it's almost like the difference between playing in the CBA and playing in the NBA.
Right.
Primetime television is a whole nother beast. So it's not easy to do. It's not easy to pull off.
Are you encouraged by the fact that there are so many more channels now, so many niche channels?
Yeah,
so
I mean,
many...
there's a lot of great avenues now. I mean,
because Adult Swim will put anything on.
Absolutely. and then, you know, with like Xbox and Netflix.
Yeah.
There's so many different avenues now for
Amazon,
you to do your thing, which is great for the artist.
What's your relationship been like with internet haters, with critics, with politically correct folks? Have you ever run up against any of that buzzsaw?
All the time. I have fun with it, man. I don't take every, I don't take it too seriously. I know, you know, look, most times, you know, haters work a regular 9 to 5 and stay in a cubicle. You know what I mean? My life, even though at times it is a struggle and it gets hard, you keep it in perspective. Like, dude, I work 1 hour a night.
Yeah, that's,
you
know, that's a pretty
Thursday,
good gig.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I drink for free. I eat for free. If I'm lucky, I get laid. You know, give me a break.
Cancel all the baby mamas.
You can hate on me all you want. You know, my life is better than yours.
Part of the reason I asked that, this is the voice of comedian Aries Spears here at the Kevin Beach Show, appearing at the Brea Improv all weekend long, improv.com. Part of the reason I ask is because it's still fresh in my mind, the reaction that Chris Rock got from Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago. And a lot of people were really calling him out, talking about how uncool it was that he was making 9/11 jokes and stuff like that. And you just can't go on and do anything that's even the slightest bit edgy without knowing you're going to offend somebody out
there.
Yeah,
right? You know, it feels like once upon a time ago, I was actually sitting in my hotel room at 3 in the morning watching ads for the Johnny Carson, now on DVD, old episodes of Johnny Carson. And they showed where Desi Arnaz was on the talk show smoking a cigarette. And even though that wasn't my era, how cool. There was a once upon a time when you could smoke a cigarette on TV.
Yeah, that was a different time.
Yeah, and things were a lot more loose. And I almost wish we could kind of get back to that. Because stand-up comedy is the last stage or forum left where free speech is allowed, and even that's being policed now, and I think that's a tragedy, man.
Yeah, it's a bad direction to go. People don't want to see a comedian; they don't have
exactly
to
when you when you when you pay your money and you walk into a comedy club, you know what you're getting. That's like going to a strip club and be offended at the sight of booty.
Right,
right,
exactly.
You
know
what I mean? It's like it's what it is.
Now, if I show up at your show, though, I'm getting Jay-Z, right?
Of course, if not, of course.
What's the impression that you must do? Is it Jay-Z?
You know, it's actually not to sound cocky or anything like that, but it's a bunch. I don't even really do the impressions like I used to. Not because I don't want to. It's just I'm trying to come up with some new stuff.
Sure, you've been doing it a long time.
But I get people that, dude, they'll yell it out, and if I don't do it, they get upset. So I get everything from Jay-Z to Shaq to Bill Cosby to DMX. And so, you know, I just kind of hit when people buy requests. When they yell it out, I hit it and keep it moving.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned Bill Cosby, Aries.
And I'm hearing about this. Is this real?
How are you going to handle that?
Well,
There's another one yesterday.
We don't know.
When I first heard about it, I put on Twitter, what does Bill Cosby rape sound like? Like, give me the booty, zippity zoppity, dippity doo. Like just Cosby, man.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Aries, and I'm really curious about your opinion. I don't know what your relationship is with Mr. Cosby.
None.
I
mean,
Do you admire him at all? Are you a fan of him?
Of course.
Because I think he's a stone-cold genius.
As a comic, you can't help it. But here's the thing, and I don't know how much of it is truth, but I've always heard the rumors that Bill Cosby, like that clean-cut image you've always seen from The Cosby Show, he's anything but that. Now, I'm not saying that goes so far as to say these women's allegations may be true, but Bill curses. My dad used to drive cab in New York, said he picked him up once or twice, and he was with someone that wasn't his wife. You know what I mean? He's a womanizer. So, you know, what you see on TV ain't always what you think it is.
But here's my question for you, Aries, and this is a serious question, and I'm not the first person to bring this up. We live in a world where it seems like the media love to tear down famous people. We love to see them fail and fall. It almost seems like there's a little bit of a hands-off on Bill Cosby. Like, he is real. People are being so gentle with him. There's not that much outrage. It's around the edges of the stories. But if this were, you know, somebody else, I almost feel like they'd be way harder on him. I don't know what that's about. Like, is it just years of respect or what?
You know, I don't think he's you know.
When you have 13 women coming out telling the same story.
Is it that many?
There's got to be fire if there's that much smoke.
I mean,
wow. I don't know.
There are possibilities, but I think there's certain people you really don't want to believe are that guy.
Of course not.
And he's one of them.
Black people didn't want to believe OJ didn't do it, but we know better. But at the time we had to, you know, it was about us versus the police, us versus the system. So we had to ride with it.
What percentage of black Americans knew it but wouldn't admit it at the time?
The OJ thing?
Yep.
Oh, 99.9%.
Because I remember that time. Yeah. It was brutal. It was like 100%.
Yeah, it was a huge divide. Yeah. But it, again, it wasn't about OJ. It was about the system. You know, it was about the police.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is.
Like, OJ ain't been one of us since he shot out his mother's womb.
All right. Aries Spears is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Please go see him at the Brea Improv tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday night, improv.com. Aries, when we come back,
yes,
we want to talk to you some more about a bunch of stuff, including the last appearance you made on the Kevin DeBean Show. I bet you don't even remember this because you do so much press, but 2 years ago next week, you were on our show.
Well, you know what's funny is as I drove up to the building, I went, I've been here before. And then when I walked into the studio, I went, I've definitely been here before.
But you remember what you said.
Do you remember what the bet was?
No.
Yeah, you
2 years ago next week, you made a basketball bet with our producer, Dave, the young Mexican man who you walked in with.
Right.
We're going to play that tape back for you and find out which one of you is going to be paying off the bet when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Okay. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's horrible. K-Rock.
Comedian Aries Spears in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on Twitter at Aries Spears. Appearing this weekend at the Brea Improv tonight, Saturday night, Sunday night. Just improv.com. Tickets are only $22, 21 and over, please. So Aries walks in. He hasn't been here in 2 years. Mm. And we say, Aries, you made a bet with Dave, our producer, the last time you were on. And he's like, uh-oh. And then he's sitting there. We don't tell him what it is. He's sitting there and he goes, does it have something to do with somebody taking somebody's clothes off? Why'd you ask that, Aries? Why is that what you thought?
I often make bets with that involve taking off of the clothes.
Why is that?
Because I think the majority of time I'm going to win. So I get to have you showcase yourself in the nude, which is never comfortable for anybody.
That's the worst, right?
You know, because, man.
How many times have you lost those bets?
Maybe three.
Really? That's it?
Okay. And I'm built like Florida Evans from Good Times. So.
Why did you come in and make a bet with our producer, Dave, and not with the beautiful Lisa May, who's sitting there to your left, though? That's the way you got to go.
You must bet with him, mostly.
Because Dave is mouthing off.
But this is where the comedy is.
Yes, it is.
All right, so Dave, your chubby Mexican friend, as you might remember, Aries, is a huge Clippers fan. And at the time that you came in 2012, you were a huge Heat fan. And I understand that's changed, by the way. You're no longer following Miami. You went with LeBron to Cleveland.
I'm a bandwagon guy.
All right. Okay. All right. So you're not going to believe, Dave, that you accepted this bet, but let's let this tape unfold. This is from 2012, Aries Spears and Dave King Mexico talking basketball.
We should definitely make a wager, man.
Make a wager.
And you know, I'm all about comedy, so I don't play for money. I play for clothes and jokes.
I'm in.
Okay.
Wait, what does this mean? This is a radio show, man. I'm down for that.
If the Clippers lose, next time I come in here, you have to do the entire show shirtless.
You want to see that?
All right, now wait. What do you mean if the Clippers lose? You mean if they don't win the championship?
If they don't win the championship. I don't even think they'll get to the Western Conference Finals.
Now, if the Clippers do win, then what's your payment?
Whatever he calls.
You have to do a stand-up show nude.
I'm just kidding. How about
Dare to Wear Underwear? That'll be awesome.
No, I'm just kidding. You can do it without your shirt. You can do a set without your shirt.
I would come in here and I would do this in some boxer shorts and a brassiere.
Oh, nice. All right. It's on. Bet made. We got to do the handshake.
There it is.
Bet's made. And we'll see you next season.
That's too bad, Dave.
In boxers and a brassiere.
All right, so here's...
who won? Who won the bet?
Well, I don't know. Did the Clippers win the NBA championship?
Oh, I get to see your nipples. Mexican nipples.
Did they or did they not win the NBA championship?
Let me think. No, they did not.
Oh. What a terrible bet to make, Dave, that they're going to win it.
By the way,
that's a terrible bet for any team,
that is,
including Cleveland this year. I mean, so many things can happen.
I have faith in my team, and you know, they let me down.
You were leading with your heart, not your head.
Yeah, that happened.
I'd like to also point out, by the way, that it was Aries who suggested the bra. And I don't know where that came from, if that's something he had in his bag anyway, but he was like, I'll put on a bra.
Just dress it up a little bit. I just do boxes.
So,
All right, so how am I paying off this bet? Do I have to
Well, you're taking your shirt off, for starters. I'd like Dave to have his shirt off for the end of the show, till the end of the show. Wouldn't you guys?
No, it was for Aries.
I'm here.
It said the whole show, by the way, is what was said on the tape. We're going to let you get out of this in an hour, okay? Shirt off till the end of the show. Kevin, do you concur?
I mean, I don't want to see that.
A bet's a bet.
It's easy for you to say because you're not in the room.
But yeah, it's going to be so much worse for Dave than it's going to be for you, Kevin.
Agreed. Yeah. But just barely.
And he made the stupid bet.
Well, that's true, and he deserves it for that.
All right. Look, none of us want to see it, but we all know a bet's a bet.
Speak for yourself, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
So, Dave?
All right. Here we go, Dave. Let me see him, baby. I know they probably look like brown Cookie Crisp chips.
Dave's going to put them on the glass.
Look at that.
That is a beautiful... He looks like a panda bear.
His chest hair looked like the bat symbol.
Yeah, I got a Weezer chest hair logo. Like,
wow.
That's pretty cool.
Ooh, it's chilly in here.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
Dang.
This is just so inappropriate to have Dave walking around with his shirt off.
I don't like it. I got to be honest.
It's only an hour.
But
Kevin,
we do like it
for an hour.
I do like how little Dave likes it. So that does make me happy.
Aries, you would have paid off your bet. You would have done your bet, right?
Hey, we're gambling, man. We pay off our bets.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Muggs, we need some pictures of this for the website, too. Okay.
I almost feel like I want to join you just because I feel bad for you.
Nope.
All right, well, listen, sadly, we are out of time, Aries. Anything else you want to say before we hit the road?
Yes, other than please come to the show. Two shows tonight, two shows Saturday, one on Sunday. Also,
Brea Improv.
Also, don't forget to go to my YouTube channel, Aries Spears 23. Hit subscribe. Subscribe to my Pandora station, Aries Spears. I'm on Twitter at Aries Spears and on Instagram at Aries Spears Official. Again, I got two baby mothers. They're killing me. And just show me some support and love, baby.
Just to make sure that you're doing it right, the first name is spelled A-R-I-E-S.
Yes, and Spears like Britney.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. All right, man. Great. We'll do it again next time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Minus the clothing problem.
Any more bets you want to make?
No, I'm going to have. Okay. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Never mind.
Sorry, I'm trying to tweet the picture out, but I just haven't been able to do it yet.
You get an eye full of Dave there, Ralph?
Yeah. Nope. Ralph came with his hand over his eyes.
Blinders.
Not want to see that.
Hey, listen.
As Beerbach said, it's like the Ark at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You do not want to look at it when the demons start coming out.
Ahead of Ralph's look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we want to open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. As you know, every morning at 9 o'clock this week, we've handed out tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. This time, we're looking for night number one and Incubus fans. Got a way that you can win your tickets. Anyone can call and play, but it will help you a lot if you are an Incubus fan. That's going to be the focus of this game. 1-800-520-1067. That's coming up. First, though, time for the showbiz beat.
Does the game involve bringing down an Incubus?
I hope not.
Well, then I'm not interested because that was genius. First of all, Beermock, the reason I was yelling at you, Kevin's over here sitting in the corner being all short bus, and then we're about to go live in the air. You told him we were about to go live, and you waved him over to the microphone. What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry, Ralph.
How awesome would that have been? Be like, what? I don't know. She'll go on now. Me have be loud speak talk.
How dare you?
That would have been awesome.
I'm bad.
You blew it for everyone, Beer Mug. Once again.
Way to go, man.
Ruined it for everyone.
You suck. Right? That's what we're saying.
Oh, I couldn't be happier about a sequel in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Paul Blart Mall
Cop
2.
Yes, you are.
I'm talking about a sequel to the wildly popular and brilliantly written book, Go the F to Sleep, written by a dad named Adam Mansbach, whose kid would not sleep, and so he wrote a book called Go the F to Sleep. It's a children's book that you read to your kids before they nod off, and you may remember the audio version was done by Samuel L. Jackson.
And it was a sensation.
A smash hit.
Yeah.
Adam Mansbach has written a second book, which is now available everywhere, called You Have to Effing Eat. Apparently, his child now has grown into toddlerhood and now refuses to eat. So what are you going to do? How are you going to top Samuel L. Jackson doing the audiobook version of Go the F to Sleep? I give to you, You Have to Effing Eat, as read by Bryan Cranston.
Oh, genius.
The sloth and the lemur, the chipmunk and cheetah, the slow, the sleek, and the fleet share one thing, my love. They make less of a mess than you do when they eat. How was school, hon?
Oh, your lunchbox is full. How are you not passed out in the street? How is it you're smart? How the hell are you growing when you basically don't eat?
It goes on and on.
I like it.
It wasn't the clip I wanted, but that'll do. Did we have another clip there?
That's it.
That was the only one.
That's
huh?
it. That's what you get.
I find that hard to believe.
That's it.
We'll have to figure out what happened later.
All right.
Good news for James Bond fans. Christoph Waltz is set to be the villain in the upcoming 24th James Bond film. That'll once again star Daniel Craig as 007. Ralph Fiennes is back as M. Ben Whishaw will return as Q. And most importantly, in my opinion, Sam Mendes, who directed Skyfall, will be back directing this film as well, which is set to premiere about a year from now, November 6th of 2015. So, good stuff.
Good stuff indeed.
This bothers me on many levels. Both because I like these people, but also because as a parent. And I thought this was kind of weird. You may have heard about this news. Charlize Theron and Sean Penn were hiking in the hills.
Okay.
And apparently they stopped to have a picnic, and Charlize's son, Jackson, who's, I don't know, 2.5, started screaming. And so some woman who also was hiking in the same area got her camera out and started videotaping the child screaming and walking close up to get a close-up shot of him screaming. Because she said she was going to report Charlize and Sean to the police because the child was in danger. Something was going wrong. So Charlize Theron is like, get away from my son, first of all. And the woman goes off and then calls the police saying the child is in danger. The police show up.
What?
Interrogate Charlize Theron and Sean Penn. And it turns out the kid got a timeout for misbehaving, and he wasn't happy about it, so he was crying, screaming his head off.
As every three-year-old that has ever lived has done.
Right, right. So this woman not only creeps Charlize out by whipping out a camera and starting to film her child, but then calls the cops on her. And I understand child abuse is a real problem, and I know it's an issue, and I know it exists and stuff, but unless you're seeing someone physically abuse a child, stay the F out of your business. It's not your business.
Yeah, that's crazy. The kid could be yelling about anything. Could have stepped on something.
Of
could
course.
Be anything.
But this woman had to insert herself into the situation and then call the police on Charlize Theron, which is unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame the police for showing up and taking...
sexy police. Unless she's under arrest for being too sexy.
I'm not sure that's a thing.
And if it hadn't been Charlize... chances are she wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Maybe she was trying to get her 15 minutes of fame, this woman. But a stranger intervening when you're trying to deal with, especially disciplining your child, I just find it.
And she's not seeing you do anything wrong.
It's
one thing if you say something to somebody at the Home Depot who you see hitting their kid. That's one thing if you step in. But in a case like this, you don't know what's going on.
If you see Adrian Peterson go over to a tree, then say something.
Yeah,
step in.
But leave Charlize alone.
That's what we're saying. Yeah, so all
she's got it handled.
That's right. Glad we got that sorted out. I'm out of time. I got so many good stories. Justin Bieber's going to jail in Argentina.
Oh,
we'll talk about that in the next hour.
Prison or women's prison, by the way? Have they said?
Either. Whatever it
takes. It doesn't matter.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
You'd get beat up in either one.
Patrick Warburton, a Family Guy, of course, and Ted, and soon to be seen in Ted 2. 50 years old today. He's also The Tick. What was that long-running series he had that was on forever with David Spade?
Rules of Engagement?
How I Met your Fiance, or whatever that was.
Rules of Engagement?
Yes,
it was.
And, of course, Seinfeld?
Yeah, Putty on Seinfeld.
He's great. He's one of my favorite actors.
And just could not be a nicer guy, too, by the way. Just a sweetheart. 50 years old today. Josh Duhamel is 42 years old. Travis Barker turns 39. Vanessa Bayer from Saturday Night Live is 33 years old. And our own sweetheart, Bean Baxter, celebrates his birthday today.
Is there a sweeter person on earth?
I don't think so.
Because I was trying to think of one, and no one comes to mind.
I got a text from our good friend, diminutive comedian Brad Williams.
Yeah.
Got a text. And he said, just thinking of you, want to wish you a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ralph. And sends me a text. And I said, this is a common misconception that Bean started and is perpetrating all week long. Brad, thanks anyway. Not my birthday today. It's actually Bean's birthday today. My birthday is Monday. And he wrote back, I'm so sorry to send you a frivolous message on such a day of public mourning. I'll light a candle. So, really. There's no one happy about today, really.
Today's not a good day.
Not a happy day for
especially
anyone.
For my parents, by the way, yes. Who've never gotten over the shame and regret.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, so this is how we run things. Other people might run them differently. Other people might do things the right way. This is how we do it, though.
Okay.
We play a solicit so that people say, call in for caller 25.
Uh-huh.
And we also sell for a game where we're going to give away tickets.
At the same time.
That's how we do it. Now,
okay.
Now, it wouldn't have been my choice or Bean's choice, but Muggs was feeling particularly gracious today.
So Muggs has given out extra acoustic Christmas tickets just to everybody, pretty much.
They're taking caller 25 for that, and we also have people on hold for our game at the exact same time.
Fire beer mug.
Right.
Let's let them deal with caller 25 while we play the hardest game in the world, part two.
In a world where some games are easy and some are really, really hard, one game will rise up and shock the world, proving once and for all it is the super duper hardest. Yeah. From the feeble minds of Kevin and Bean, the producers of The Hardest Game in the World, comes a game so hard it will make you sh** your pants. Your pants. K-Rock Radio, in association with 20th Century Lemur, presents a really, really hard game starring Hardy McDifficult and Tough Von Baffling. It's The Revenge of the Son of the Hardest Game in the World, Part 2, 2.0, The Wrath of Hard and the Goblet of Fire Reloaded. Music by Eddie Money, soundtrack available on Really Hard Records, rated PG-71. No one will be admitted after the start of the game.
So, Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy?
It's The Hardest Game in the World, Part 2!
Where's Mr. Announcer Man's big music?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Does Mr. Announcement have
big music? I don't remember having big music.
I don't think
always
he has
have big music that this part has talked
I
over.
Don't. Always.
Every
never.
Time we play the game.
Not
that
once.
Has never happened one time.
Not once ever.
I believe it's going well.
How's the game work, Mr. Announcement?
I would like to be left out of this, if you don't mind.
I would as well, by
so
the way.
I'm going to go lay down.
No, no, no.
Who's laughing with you? Who's in the background?
That
there,
would
Mr.
be Omar.
Oh, yeah, you know a guy named Omar,
does
too.
Does he know how this game is supposed to work?
No one does.
All right, please explain it to us.
I'm not quite sure.
All right, I think we play the music backwards.
Right, we play a piece of an Incubus song backwards.
It's all going to be
twice.
Incubus, correct?
Incubus. All Incubus songs.
All right.
Played backwards twice, and then you need to identify what Incubus song we just played backwards.
Well, that sounds hard, Mr. Announcer Man.
Just once.
I believe we only
played. We play it once backwards.
I believe we only played once.
And then you go, tell us what it is.
Right.
Or be caller 25 right now.
Apparently.
No, or go to Beer Mug's house. We'll give out his address, and you can break in and murder him in his sleep.
This is a disaster, I think, so far.
Yes.
All right. Who do we have to play the game, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Steve. He's in Azusa, which is lucky that he's not here.
Hey, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Well,
the worst part of your day is that you're actually listening to this train wreck, Steve.
We've been better. We're going to play a clip of an Incubus song one time backwards, and you have to identify the song, correct?
I'm so excited.
Here you go.
Are You In?
Are You In is correct. Nice. Hold on.
That's
very well
Steve
done, Steve.
Rolls.
How about that?
No kidding. All right. He is in the drawing to win the tickets for night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Who's next?
Next up is Alex. He's in El Segundo. That means the second.
Hey, Alex.
How's it going?
Good. Sorry to interrupt your conversation.
No, let's do this.
Are you ready?
Incubus
backwards. Good luck.
Okay, I'm just going to take a stab at it because that was too difficult.
Well it's a hard game.
It's a hard game.
Love Hurt?
Sorry, that was Drive.
I'm sorry, none of the people around you were asking knew what that was.
He did have a lot of help, didn't he?
He sure did.
All right.
Next up is Christina. She's from La Habra.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. Hi, Christina.
Welcome to the game.
She sounds already fed up with us.
She does. She's tired of us.
Am I caller 25?
No.
Thank you for asking, though.
Nope, we had to get another caller 25. You were on hold for the game, so now we're playing the game with you.
All right.
So good luck. Identify this Incubus song. I hope they perform it like that. That'd be cool.
I do, too. I think these Incubus songs they sound very similar backwards.
They do have a type, don't they?
Yeah. What do you think there, Christina? How about a guess if you don't know?
Mm.
No, I'm sorry.
Sorry, that was stellar.
All right. So far, only Steve is in the drawing. I think we have time for maybe a couple more contestants. Who's next, Mr. Announcerman?
Let's see if Kelsey can topple him. She's from Long Beach. She's a dog walker.
Hey, Kelsey.
Hey, morning.
You ready for your song backwards?
Not really, but go ahead.
All right, here we go. Name that
song. Holy Bag Dolls. How about Nice to Know?
Is it Nice to Know You?
Yes!
Yeah, we'll take that.
That's what I'm saying.
Nice to Know You! You said Nice to Know, but close enough. Hold on.
Yeah, I think that is close enough. Very, very impressive. That one was a little bit tougher. All right, our final contestant.
Coming up next, it's Adam from Encino. He sells insurance.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Adam.
How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm good.
I'm good.
So I want to have sex with you.
She already
left early today. Sorry.
All right. This is the best game we've ever played. I'm just going to name it right now. This is the best it's ever gone.
Best intro ever, for sure.
All right. Here is your Incubus song. Tell us the title.
Oh, wow. Pardon me? I don't even know.
Wow! Yes! Okay. How about that?
Boom. Nice.
Boom.
Very nice. All right. Steve, yes. Kelsey, yes. Adam, yes. But only one can win tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Beer Mug, I guess you're doing the drawing. Who's our winner, please?
Steve! Steve is our winner, the very first person that we talked to. Steve, congratulations.
Yes! Thank you.
You win. Thank you for playing the hardest game in the world, part two. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Steve!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Let's go the F home.
I agree.
We have stepped through the looking glass of this show. It's nuts. We're in an alternate universe.
Let's get Bryan Cranston to read Let's Go the F Home for us. Why don't we do that?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, this we're like a car that on the 499th mile of a 500-mile journey just has parts falling off of it. The tires are flat and there's no gas, and we're just pushing it up the hill to try to get
over
the finish
line. I'd like to disagree. I think it's going well.
I split the difference. I think we're falling apart, but we're more like a lemon that was bad on the lot, and it only has 8 miles on
bad.
It, and it's still falling apart. Okay. Yeah, it was never good.
Come on, you guys. Let's get together. Let's put on a show. We can save this one.
Let's make this the best showbiz beat ever.
Yes. But I have to ask for a clip. Now, what are the odds that anything's going to go right the Beer Mug's involved with today?
Not good.
I asked for this clip once, and he played the wrong thing.
Not good.
Yeah. You may have to act this clip out, Ralph. That may be the only way you can get the thing you want.
We're getting a thumbs up now from Muggs. How does that make you feel?
Never been less confident in my life.
That doesn't help at all.
I'd rather get surgery in the back of a panel van than trust Beer Mug.
Hey, Muggs, you want to give away some more acoustic Christmas tickets real quick before
we open up some more
show this beat?
Oh, I wish you guys could have seen
Muggs. Now I'm sad. I'm going to be quiet and sullen.
For the last,
because that's good radio.
For the last 30 minutes, he's just been frozen. And mad.
I'm sure it's somebody's fault.
Somebody else, right.
What's
going on, Ralph?
Bean alluded to this earlier in the showbiz beat that there's a new Bryan Cranston audiobook. He's reading the sequel to the viral sensation Go the F to Sleep. Remember, there was a dad named Adam Mansbach who wrote this book, basically for parents, but it's a spoof on kids' books. They're just supposed to read to your kid before they go to sleep. In fact, some kids just will not sleep, and it was a very funny book where he wrote, you know, the The lions are tired and the whales are sleeping beneath the deep. You, my dear, must go the F to sleep. Something to that effect. And Samuel L. Jackson read the audiobook version. Now this guy has written a sequel to Go the F to Sleep. It's called You Have to Effing Eat.
This dad's having trouble.
Now his kid at this stage in his childhood doesn't want to eat anything. So he's written a new book called You Have to Effing Eat. And in response to the Samuel L. Jackson audiobook, we have a new audiobook out today that's available on audible.com is the name of the website. It's sort of the Amazon outlet for all their audiobooks. So if you go to audible.com, you can download Bryan Cranston.
Awesome.
Reading You Have to Effing Eat. Here's a little sample of the opening stanza of You Have to Effing Eat.
The sunrise is golden and lovely. The birds chirp and twitter and tweet. You woke me and asked for some breakfast. So why the f*** won't you eat? The bunnies are munching on carrots. The lambs nibble grasses and bleat. I know you're too hungry to reason with, but you have to f*** eat.
And it goes on and
That's
on.
Awesome.
And it is outstanding. So, again, audible.com is the website where you can download it for free if you go there now. So check it out. It's very entertained by
Is that,
that
a, forgive me for asking this question, but is that a phase that children go through where they don't want to eat anything? Is that a thing?
Some kids. Mm-hmm. Some kids, it goes on for years.
They just get real picky? Is that what it is?
Really picky, yeah.
Right.
I don't understand that, because I figure if they get hungry enough, they'll eat. Right?
I mean,
they're not going to hold out. They don't understand.
I'm assuming you had no problems with your kids with eating. We're lucky, too. Olivia eats everything. But we have friends whose kids will only eat, like, bread.
Yeah.
That's it. No protein, no vegetables, no nothing. Cheese, grilled cheese, you know. That's like they eat like Kevin, basically.
How dare you? I had
And there's some kids who just
mac and cheese last
eat.
Night.
They'll have a little piece of something, and then that's it for lunch. And then for dinner, that's all they have. And
parents.
They just will not eat.
Parents.
Or they won't eat what they're served. Say, I'm not eating this. And the parents have to give them something else, something we don't do.
So, Kevin, you would just say, okay, then don't eat, and we'll try again at dinner?
Yep.
Oh, Kevin,
but what happens
these emaciated if
2 days later they still won't eat anything? What do you do
that
then?
That doesn't happen. It just doesn't. You have to eat, so you eat. You're trained to not eat. By your parents. That's bad parenting. And for me to call somebody on it, that's absurd.
Can you imagine?
That's craziness.
I want to read Kevin's parenting book. Well, good wife, go out.
That's it.
That's it. That's the one and only page of the book. Get wife and nanny, go out, go King's game. Kevin's parenting. The initiation, The Imitation Game, not The Initiation Game at all. The Imitation Game is a new movie coming out. It's a British-American historical thriller starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
Looks awesome.
It's the true story of Alan Turing, who was a genius, a British mathematician and a pioneering computer scientist. He helped crack Nazi Germany's Enigma code, helped win the war in World War II. Later, by the way, tragically, he was criminally prosecuted because he was gay.
Is that right? Yes. I didn't know that part of the story.
Criminally prosecuted for his homosexuality, because there were statutes on the books in the 40s in the UK saying you could not be gay openly. So it looks like a great film. He's promoting it currently. He was on MTV with Josh Horowitz, who's very entertaining, and they did an interview, and they said because it's the Imitation Game, wouldn't it be fun to play an imitation game? How many imitations can Benedict Cumberbatch do in a minute? Well, he rattled off a bunch of them. It was very entertaining. Here's a clip.
Sean Connery.
I'm very excited to see what young Benedict does.
Jack Nicholson.
Why can't we all see The Imitation Game?
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, yeah, I think you've got to go and see The Imitation Game.
Michael Caine.
I want to see The Imitation Game. Don't you?
Christopher Walken.
I want to see the... I've gone Jamaican or something.
Can you do Bane?
I want to see The Imitation Game.
Can you do Taylor Swift?
I want to see The Imitation Game.
Nailed it.
Christopher Walken for me. I was like, see this film? I want to see this film. This film's been up my ass for the last 5 years.
He's charming.
Who knew he was that funny?
I want to do him.
Okay.
I want to be a Cumber bitch. And lastly, sad news, tragic news. I hate to bring the bad news, but I have to sometimes. Culture Club is canceling their tour.
Oh, yeah. That was our surprise for acoustic.
I know. Culture Club was coming out, and Boy George was going to tumble for us. But the North American UK tour has been canceled. Band's official website, which I've hard to believe.
They have still, an official
still a Culture Club website, but there is. They say Boy George has something in his throat. And they got to get it out. They got to get something out, out of his throat. It, deep in his throat. He has a deep throat problem. And so they're going to go into his throat and take out whatever large thing is there in his throat. They're going to pull it out. And then put it back in, and then they'll pull it out again just to make sure it's really out. So all the concerts scheduled for this month and next month have been canceled until they can get whatever is deep in George's throat out.
They just put out a new song a couple weeks ago, their first new song in 15 years. And I, first of all, Boy George sounds nothing like his old voice. It sounds like his voice has been trashed in the years since they were popular.
Sounds like Man George now?
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty rough. The song was pretty good, but it was just, it's weird. It didn't sound like Culture Club, I'll tell you that. So I don't know what's going on with them. Was it George who had the thing where he had a guy chained up at his apartment?
Yeah,
was
it George? Yeah. He had the guy that he had chained to his wall that he was sexually assaulting.
That was a thing. He's led an interesting life in recent years.
I have a clip of the song you're talking about.
You do?
That's
a shock that you would have that clip,
Kevin. It
doesn't
sound anything like him.
But it's important to do but the doofle.
Can't use it for everything.
Can't
be Iggy Azalea and Boy George.
It may not be funny, but I can use it for everything.
Here's the clip you were looking for, Kevin.
Too many cooks, too many cooks. Too many cooks, too many cooks.
There you go.
Too many cooks, too many cooks.
Just doesn't sound like the way I recall Boy George being. That's all. What? I thought this was supposed to be a good showbiz beat.
So did I.
Let's just
go home. Bean's got to get to Denny's.
He does.
He's got to cash in on that free Grand Slam breakfast for his birthday.
I'm so excited.
As we look at today's celebrity birthdays, it is Bean's birthday. Happy birthday, Bean. Enjoy your Grand Slam.
Thank you.
How do
Will.
You have, what do you eat for the Grand Slam?
They have turkey bacon and chicken sausage at Denny's.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great.
Vanessa Bayer of Saturday Night Live is 33 years old today. Travis Barker of Blink 182 is 39. Josh Duhamel is 42. And Patrick Warburton, one of my favorite people, very funny and talented actor. He is 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off. Don't forget, tickets go on sale today at noon for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
We're just wait for Beer Mug to give some more away.
Never know when that's going to happen.
That's right.
Anthony Kiedis.
I'm in the corner sulking.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is a song now for Kevin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come on, man, you're missing the point.
Roll another one.
Hope you enjoyed the show, assholes.
Just like the other. This one seems to be about quit. And I need another hit.
How you keep it funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you gotta be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
Roll. Yeah.
Mug's still there.
Just like the other one.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
What the hell's that? What's up with that?
I don't have another cent. But the one got that joint.
Well, that one didn't work.
Nope.
Very good, though.
Just pass it around.
That was great.
I made a terrible mistake. Can we please just try and start over?
No, we can't.
You guys about done?
Yeah.
Good, you're both idiots.
Anyway, I'm about to fall under the table. Anyway, I'm going to say goodnight and crawl into that bed and get some sleep.
I award you no points.
and may God have mercy on your soul.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There are no strings.